I'm standing in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master is forcing open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So, is it questions and answers? Nuvrindavan? Yeah. Well, Nuvrindavan in the early 70s was kind of like what the Mayapur festival is for Gaur Purnima in India. All the temples in America used to come to Nuvrindavan for Janmashtami. The first Janmashtami that I attended, I stayed in Boston with Satsarup Maharaj, but a whole bunch of devotees went to Nuvrindavan in 1971. That's when Radhavandavan Chandra was installed. I didn't go for that one. But the next year, in 1972, I went with we had a bus, a school bus, and we painted it. It was like green metallic flake and big Hare Krishna written on the side of it. And filled it up with devotees, and we went to Nuvrindavan, and that's when Prabhupada was having his Bhagavad Dharma discourses. Talking with Radhanath Maharaj before that was in 72, around July at some time, Prabhupada came to New York, and Radhanath Maharaj was also there. So I'm sure that I saw him at that time, but I don't remember seeing him. Big crowd, and it wasn't a very big temple in Brooklyn. But I distinctly remember seeing him in 1972. He was at the Bathing Ghat, which was basically a mud puddle where we used to scoop water out. That's where we were bathing. I distinctly remember seeing him there and noticing that he was very serious and very grave. He still had long hair at that time. And that was the Bhagavad Dharma discourses. Of course, I told the story of how I got to carry Srila Prabhupada in a palanquin up the hill that one day. I remember on Janmashtami day, there was initiations in the temple room. Not a very big crowd, but I remember Yasomati Nandana, who's president of Ahmedabad. He got initiated on that day, Janmashtami 1972. And afterwards, Prabhupada also gave a talk up on the hill. And that night, to celebrate Janmashtami, because we were fasting all day, he wanted to have Krishna book reading in the temple room. And the temple room was about as big as this room. And Prabhupada had his Vyasa-san, and then the deities, Radhavandavan Chandra. So it was jam-packed full of devotees. And not everybody could get in the temple room, so a lot of people were outside near where the windows were and just, close by. I don't even think they had a sound system then. Maybe, but I remember they were reading Krishna book, the appearance of Krishna, and there was a lot of sannyasis there, so all these dandas, sticking up from people sitting. And I read about an hour and a half, and because it was, getting close to midnight, I remember seeing, all the dandas, starting to you know, go back and forth as, and a lot of people were like nodding out and the dandas were like moving. But it was a wonderful time. And then midnight came, they had, I believe it was an artik. I wasn't in the temple room because I couldn't fit inside. I was standing like near the door. They had a kirtan and then a feast after that, you know, midnight feast. And, of course, the next day is Vyas Puj. And it's a half-day fast after that feast. And then I remember Prabhupada was up on the hill still giving his daily lecture, the Bhagavad Dharma discourses. They did make a little book out of that. I don't know if it's available here now, but it was a, you know, a series of his lectures. But I was asked to help in the kitchen for Vyas Puj. So I wasn't at his lecture. I was down the hill a little ways. They had made little kitchens, dug in the side of the hill, little stoves. You know, everything was cooked with wood. So there was a bunch of devotees cooking, you know, the veggies and the puris and things. And they asked me if I would make the fruit salad. And they had, I remember, lots of bananas and oranges and apples. So cutting up and getting other devotees to help me do the cut up. And we had trash cans, metal trash cans. This was like before the days of plastic. And they were new trash cans. And we filled up, I don't know, like five or six trash cans of cut-up fruit, and then poured in some, you know, yogurt and sugar. And there wasn't anything to, like, stir it with, so I had to use my arm, stick my arm, you know, way in and stir it all up, you know, all the trash cans. And I don't remember the exact details, but I know they made a cake for Srila Prabhupada on his birthday. And somehow or other, it didn't get offered to Prabhupada, and some people started to eat it. So, you know, the people in charge, they were really upset, and they postponed the feast, and they made another cake for Prabhupada. And waited till that was done, and waited till they could offer that to Prabhupada before letting any devotees eat the feast. But it was beautiful weather the whole time, and Prabhupada was very enthusiastic, you know, to speak about Krishna. It seemed like, you know, he didn't get tired at all then. He was just very, you know, in a forceful way, very strongly, you know, speaking about Krishna, glorifying Krishna, you know, asking people to surrender to Krishna. And then he went to Pittsburgh and then flew to some other city. I forget where he was going after that. I think London. But then the next year, 73, at the same place where Prabhupada spoke, the pavilion on top of the hill, they'd built a little kitchen behind the pavilion in 73. And still, devotees from all over America came to New Vrindavan for that festival. And by that time, I was living in New Vrindavan. So I was helping prepare for it, make the kitchens in the back. I can remember, because we had like hatchets and we were making these tables out of logs and things, and so we're flattening off, and I was flattening off one section, and I cut myself in the foot, hit myself with an axe, and it was, you know, bleeding quite profusely. I felt like a big fool. But anyways, so many devotees came for that, but it rained, you know, and it rained every day. And this pavilion, you know, it was just made out of posts with a tin roof. There was no sides. And it was very windy, you know, so the whole place became soaked. you know, people didn't bring any tents, but they brought sleeping bags and things, and they all got completely soaking wet. And New Vrindavan, because it was all just like dirt roads and things, it became really muddy. So it was, you know, it was transcendental because it was New Vrindavan, but it was very messy and cold, and, you know, everyone was miserable. A lot of people just like left their sleeping bags and coats there because they were covered in mud and soaking wet. It was good for us who lived there because, you know, there was lots of sleeping bags and coats that were kind of scarce in those days. But after that year, that was like the last year that most of the temples would come to New Vrindavan for Janmashtami, because it was just so miserable in the rain. They never came after that. And plus, you know, as the temples were growing, they wanted to have their own Janmashtami with their own congregation and things. But I was, you know, very fortunate to be there in those days in Radhanath. Maharaj was there. Because I could do a little construction work, I was always, you know, pushed in that direction. And, you know, the barn crew was, to me, it seemed like the in crowd. And I really wanted to associate with them because they were so happy and so Krishna conscious. And also, they knew how to get Mahaprasadam. But I only, just for a short few months, I helped milking. And it was amazing because Radhanath and Taru were like partners milking. You know, they would each would milk one side of the cow. And they were learning verses and telling Krishna book stories. There was actually a I can't think of the right word. It wasn't actually like a regulative principle, but everybody was trying to practice that they would tell at least one pastime of Krishna to like five people every day. And so they would all like, you know, read a little pastime, and then they would go around and try to tell it to five different people. So everybody was, you know, telling stories about Krishna. And it was really a wonderful atmosphere. And I can remember getting hay. You know, the hay was cut, and we used to have to use pitchforks and load it on a wagon, a horse-drawn wagon. And they would, the wagons with the horses would bring it into the barn and store it for the winter. And while I was out there doing the hay, you know, I was trying to tell my story, and Radhanath and Taru were there. And as I was telling my story, you know, I couldn't remember all the details, but they did. You know, they knew all the details, and I was very amazed at how, you know, knowledgeable and how Krishna conscious they were. So I always wanted to associate with them, but Krishna didn't fulfill my desire that much. But then finally, after, it was probably like October or something in 1973 that there was the one farm, the old Vrindavan farm, that all the brahmacharis moved up there. And I can't remember how many brahmacharis there were, but it was a good handful. And Radhanath was going to be the pujari during the day and, of course, take care of milking the cows. We had a couple of old cows, Kalia, which was the original cow. She was up there in the barn. We also had one goat called Krishna Chuggy, who Radhanath used to milk the goat also. And it was, you know, some of the happiest times of my life. And this, you know, simple brahmachari life, and you know, we had Radha Mandava Nath. Shortly after that, they installed Gornatai deities. So there was Gornatai and Radha Mandava Nath, and I believe a small set of Lord Jagannath also. And the brahmacharis would just take care of the deities, you know, do all the garlands and make the sandalwood paste, dress them, cook all the offerings. It was a wonderful time. You know, brahmachari life is a very simple life, so you can just, you know, devote your time to Krishna conscious activities. And although during the week, our morning program was a little faster. Well, we would chant japa before Mangalartik, and then we would have Mangalartik, you know, Tulsi Pooj, and then we would have a Guru Pooj and a class, and then greet the deities. And after greeting the deities, we would take prasadam and then go to work. And I think it was like 7 o'clock. You know, we were expected to be done with our prasadam and, you know, start to go to work. It was about a 2-mile walk from the other farm up this muddy road. So those fortunate few, you know, you got to stay up in Vrindavan all day and serve the deities, take care of the cows. But most of us, we had other service to do, like either over at Prabhupada's palace or down at the barn. And I was always involved in construction, especially the early days. And of course, we were making the palace, and you know, we didn't really know what we were doing. We were just we're trying, you know, our best to make a place. The idea was a place where Srila Prabhupada could come and just do his translating without so much botheration of, you know, managing temples and things. That was the original idea behind the palace, a nice place for Prabhupada to kind of retire and do his translating work. But of course, as we were making the palace, you know, we knew that we wanted to have marble floors. So we had to set up a marble shop, and you know, we had to make a building to put the marble shop in. So there was always these like little spin-off things from making the palace, where we had to make a marble shop, and we bought an old marble business from Pittsburgh, and we got their equipment and brought it to New Vrindavan and set it up. You know, big saw for cutting marble and a big polishing machine for polishing it. And of course, more devotees were coming, so we always had to make more housing for devotees. It was like an ongoing process. And it always seemed that as soon as we would start work on a building, like, you know, digging the foundation, it would always rain. And so, you know, it would fill up with water and be a big muddy mess. And I have so many, you know, memories of just, you know, being in the mud, you know, my hands like red because it's cold in the wet and the mud, trying to do the, you know, the rebar. And it was always like a happy day when things were poured up far enough that we'd get out of the mud so we could just, you know, be on the other part of the building. But then, you know, Srila Prabhupada, he was very, very encouraging, because Kirtan Ananda Maharaj would always be writing him letters and telling him, you know, the progress of the palace. And Srila Prabhupada kept on saying, yes, please, you know, finish my palace and I'll come and live there. And then at one point he said, actually, I'm already living there. I don't know. I was just thinking, like, when we built the marble shop, it was up on the about the same level as where the temple was in Bahulaban, which is up a small hill from the road. But there was just a short little driveway, kind of steep. And when it got wet, it was very slippery in the mud. And we had done all the block work, and we were laying the beams, and we bought from a sawmill. I think they were like 20 feet long, 14 feet high, you know, 14 inches by 12 inches. But, you know, a big, giant logs cut square for, you know, the beam that would run down the middle of the building. But when the truck bringing it had to drop it off at the road, and we didn't have any way, you know, like to bring it up there. So we just used round logs, you know, as rollers, and with crowbars, we just kind of rolled it, you know, little bit by little bit, you know, all the way up the hill and got it into place. It reminded me of, you know, pictures that I saw of how they used to build the pyramids or something, you know. But it was just little manpower like that. And also, we had built columns, and in order to get them into place, we just had to, like with a lever, lift the one end up a little bit and put some bricks under it, and go to the other end, lift that end up a little bit, put some bricks under it, and keep going back and forth, you know, until we got it up high enough to put it into place. You know, today, somebody would just get a crane or something and put it in, but we didn't have that in those days. So I don't know if you want to hear these kind of little details, but that's what I was doing, you know, construction and in the mud in New Vrindavan. But every day, you know, we would stop for lunch prasadam, and they would have a kirtan after lunch prasadam, and they were really wonderful kirtans. And then, you know, we go back out and work until it was probably Sundar Artik, which was either 7 or 7:30 at night. And we would all try to, because it would take at least a half hour to walk up the road, 2 miles, to get to the Brahmachari farm, Old Vrindavan. And then we'd have, just take bath and go to Sundar Artik, and then have a Bhagavad Gita class. And then there was always hot milk at night. I still get that today. You know, it was a simple time. But there was a certain I don't know how to say it, a certain like family feeling that we had. And you know, my personal opinion is that it was so much nicer than when we started to get a lot of opulence, and we started to, you know, back then things were simple. Srila Prabhupada also said, you know, just simple living and high thinking, not try to make it very advanced. But at a certain point, there was a conscious decision made to use modern technology to try to, you know, build things faster. And, you know, the emphasis was shifted. And so the earlier days were much simpler days. I was also thinking, you know, before I went to live in New Vrindavan, I was in Boston, and it was very similar to New Vrindavan in that, you know, we never had much money. And I can remember the first Julian Yatra that we had in Boston, the swing ceremony. And they asked me to make the swing. So, you know, no idea, but for some reason I thought make a round platform would be nice for the swing. So I went down into the basement, and then I found some old plywood. But we only had one saw. It was an electric saw, but it had a very rough blade, you know, only a few teeth, and it was very dull. And those saws are made only for cutting straight lines, you know, and I was trying to cut a circle, and it just wasn't working, and the plywood was all splintering up, and it kept on stalling, and, you know, started to smell like burnt rubber. You know, the motor was not working right. But then I saw there was a trash can cover, and that was perfectly round. So I thought, I guess I'll just use the trash can cover. So it was perfectly round, and I just put some wood inside the trash can cover. And luckily, you know, the Matajis, they decorated it very nice, I remember, with like red velvet and fringe all along the side, and out of a coat hanger, just made like a backdrop, and with some nails coming up, because we only had little 6-inch Radhakrishna deities at that time. And they decorated it, you know, really nicely, and then we just, you know, hung it from a beam in the temple room. And I can remember it was, you know, I had never even heard of a Julian Yatra or a swing festival, but to me it was so personal, you know, that Krishna's a person, and you're actually, you know, pushing him on a swing, you know, and so he can enjoy the swing. I just thought it was so neat that you could serve Krishna in that way. You know, these are like 37 years, some of these stories are old. And I'm just thinking that, you know, all of you, especially like if you went to the farm a couple of days ago, New Govardhan Farm, you know, probably 30 years from now, someone's going to be asking you about that festival, and you know, you're going to have to think about it and tell it. And I'm sure you'll be able to describe it wonderfully. I don't know, any specific questions? Yeah, that was 1976 when Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan. I don't remember exactly that day. There was, you know, a few days. Srila Prabhupada would drive up and park his car, and then he would walk, you know, the rest of the way to the temple. Also, one day we brought him over to the barn, you know, where the cows were, and where in Prabhupada took a tour of the barn. He also, in 1976, we had initiation ceremonies right above the marble shop. We had a big prasadam room, you know, with a nice marble floor and things. And Srila Prabhupada had a fire jugya and gave initiations there. So I don't remember that specific day because there was, you know, a few days like that. One story that I remember is the first day that Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan in 1976. Actually, I remember he came, he got out of his car. I had scented water. We were throwing like scented water in front of him. Other people had flowers to throw in front of him. And he got out of the car, but he didn't want to go right into the temple because he had to go to the bathroom. So up where Kirtanananda Maharaj had his cabin, he had a little bathroom there. So Prabhupada walked up these stairs, and of course we were all throwing scented water and flowers in front of him, you know, just to use the bathroom there. And then he, you know, came back down and went into the temple. And we just had a new Sringasan made for Radha Vrindavan Chandra. And quite beautiful, you know, carved teak wood. Right here in Bombay it was made by Rancherbhai, the Mysteries. And we also had a new Vyasasan that was carved here in Bombay. And some other furniture also. A bed that Prabhupada slept in. The furniture is now in Prabhupada's palace. Prabhupada used the bed, the little asanas, the table. They had this like cupboard with drawers and hanging places. The incarnations carved on it. It's all in the palace, and it's Prabhupada's remnants. He used it. Even though it wasn't in the palace at that time, he used it at another house. But when he came in to greet the deities that day, it was in the afternoon. He paid his full dandavats and was looking at Radha Vrindavan Chandra with a big smile. And then he leaned over to Kirtanananda Maharaj and said, "You know, how much did the Sringasan cost?" And I don't know how much it cost, but he told him how much it was in rupees. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, it was worth it. Radha Vrindavan Chandra looked really wonderful there. And he sat on his Vyasasan and he gave a short talk. And then he went up to his house where he was staying. It's the same house that Sampratan and Ruchi now live. And Kirtanananda also went up there to the house. And while he was up there, it was Pusta Krishna and Hari Surya Prabhus. It was Pusta Krishna was Maharaj at that time. They asked Kirtananda, is there any lectern or stand for Prabhupada to hold his book on when he gives class tomorrow? You know, this is like a lectern. And Kirtananda said, wow, you know, we never thought of that. So he came driving back down to Bahulaban, and I remember we were sitting on the patio out front, and Bhattu Gopal was in charge of the wood shop. He was actually the only person working in the wood shop. We were making these stained glass doors at the time out of black walnut, which is a very high quality wood. Black, it's a dark brown colored wood. And he told them that, you know, we need to make, you know, something for Prabhupada to hold his book when he gives a class tomorrow morning. So he went into the Vyasasan and measured it, and he started working. And he stayed up all night, you know, making this lectern for Prabhupada to use. And the Vyasasan wasn't quite as long as this one. So he designed it so it would slide under it, and it would kind of pull up, but it wouldn't rest on the seat itself. But he made it, and for the finish he put tung oil on it, which is, it's called a tung nut. It's this oil that comes from a nut, and it's really good to put on wood. He did that, and then he varnished over it, and it was like almost 3 a.m. or something, and he was just, so tired that he thought, okay, I'll just go to sleep and you know, it'll be dry in time for Bhagavatam class, and, you know, then Prabhupada can use it. So he just was so tired, he just fell asleep right there. And all of a sudden he woke up, he could hear a kirtan, you know, in the temple. And he knew that it was like, you know, that Prabhupada had already arrived there, and they were, you know, going to greet the deities, and pretty soon he was going to give class, so he had to bring it right away. So he went to pick up the lectern, and it was all like gooey, and it was just all, the oil and the varnish didn't mix together, so it just turned into this like gummy mess. So he was, you know, completely devastated, you know, what to do. But, you know, Krishna within the heart told him to just scrape it all off. So he just started scraping it off and cleaning it with mineral spirits and paint thinner, and just cleaned it all off, rubbed it, you know, dried it, polished it up. And that was the first day that Prabhupada was there. I got to do the artik to Srila Prabhupada. And also I got to put on, you know, the sandalwood paste on his forehead and things as he was sitting in the Vyasasana in the temple room. And, you know, doing the artik, and I was actually, at some point in the artik, I was also thinking, you know, I wonder if Bhatu Gopal is going to make it with his lectern, because he hadn't showed up yet. But, you know, at the end of the kirtan, Prabhupada said the Jai Om prayers, and just sitting on his Vyasasana, and Bhatu Gopal walked in and, you know, just slid this little lectern right in front of Prabhupada, and they put the Bhagavatam on it, and it fit just perfectly. And there are, I've seen in a few pictures of Prabhupada, you know, down at Bahulaban, in the old Bahulaban temple, with that lectern, you know, and the Bhagavatam in front of him. I have a picture of him like that. And Prabhupada used it, you know, for like 10 days. So it was just, you know, just perfectly, just barely made it in time. He stayed up all night, and it worked good. And that, actually, that lectern is still in New Vrindavan, and they still use it to give Bhagavatam class. Everybody who gives Bhagavatam class uses that same lectern, which is Prabhupada's remnants. But I can remember some of us were thinking that it's too bad he scraped all that sticky stuff off, because it would have had Prabhupada's fingerprints in it, you know, if he would have left it. But anyways, it was better that he cleaned it all off. One, most of the, you know, the talks that Prabhupada gave when he was in New Vrindavan in 1976 are recorded, but not all of them, because I've looked for particular ones, and I haven't, because I remember certain things, and I haven't seen it, you know, on the portfolio and different things where they have all of Prabhupada's lectures transcribed. Because I remember there was one, well, his name is Taru, devotee Taru, who was Radhanath's milking partner. And this was at an evening darshan up at Prabhupada's house, outside of his house. And Taru asked a question. He said, you know, farmers around here say that, you know, we just have to work so hard. We don't really have time to worship God. You know, why? We're just working hard and we grow our grains. Why should we worship God? And I remember Pustakrishna Maharaj was on one side, fanning Srila Prabhupada with a peacock fan, and Drishtadyumna Maharaj was on the other side with a chamara risk, you know, fanning and keeping the flies away from Prabhupada. And Prabhupada had his hand, and they had lions for the armrest, and Prabhupada was just like rubbing the back of the lion with his hands. And he said to Pustakrishna, you know, you answer. And Pustakrishna started saying, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna And Prabhupada immediately cut him off. He said, don't bring the Gita. And then he said, you know, Drishtadyumna, you answer. And Drishtadyumna was there, you know, with the chamara whisk. And he said, well, Krishna says, and Prabhupada immediately cut him off. He said, don't bring Krishna. You know, so everybody was like shocked, you know, don't bring Bhagavad Gita, don't bring Krishna. You know, so everybody was just dead silent. And then Prabhupada leaned forward, you know, really forward, and he looked at him and he said, okay, rascal, can you make it rain? You know, can you make the sun shine? You know, and he just went on, like, point by point without, you know, bringing Krishna or the Bhagavad Gita about how we're completely dependent on all these things, you know, that are actually coming by God. So just to, you know, show some gratitude and some worship to him that he's actually supplying all these things. But I just remembered it was such a dramatic way that Prabhupada did it, you know, don't bring the Gita, you know, don't bring Krishna. You know, everybody was just so quiet, and then just, you know, with his logic and arguments, he just completely defeated him. I remember, you know, okay, rascal. That's how he started out. But I don't think they got that on tape. Time up. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.